Hey there, podcast fam. Welcome to Sisters Say It All, the podcast where we spill the tea, share the laughs, and explore all topics that make life awesome and not so awesome. With us, anything goes. We are your favorite sister duo, Sophie Eckerhoff and Stephanie Luck, who have no boundaries when it comes to discussing everything under the sun. Think of us as your go-to pals, ready to chat, laugh, and sometimes cry. So let's get started, friends. Welcome to Sisters Say It All. Sarah and Brad, welcome. We are so excited to have you on this week's episode, not only because we love you dearly, but because we find your story so inspiring and we feel like you'll be able to inspire so many others around you.
Absolutely.
So Sarah and Brad are the proud owners of four Motivate Sports franchises. They bought their first franchise back in 2019. They bought Penrith, and now, like I said, they are the owner of four franchises. So I thought it'd be really interesting to get them on. They're going to share their story, and I'm going to let you guys take the lead. So let's start, and I guess share a little bit about yourselves and even what you did before you started Motivate and before you went into business together.
Thanks. So as you said, we have four Motivate locations, but it's not what we've always done. So 2019, we started our first Motivate in Penrith. I'm a school teacher by trade, so I was a teacher for 10 years, and Sarah worked in Woolworths.
Yeah, I was an assistant brand manager for Food Co., so working in marketing.
So I haven't feel like I've changed. I've obviously changed a bit going and doing your own business, but I have always been involved in sport coaching, and obviously I was teaching for 10 years. So this is still probably down that same sort of streamline of thing, but it's obviously completely different to what Sarah did for so long.
Oh, very nice. And what would you say motivated you to or inspired you to start this business together? What would you say would be the biggest thing?
Was that a play on words there, saying motivated?
That's right.
Pun intended.
Yeah. And what made you pick Motivate, for example?
Yeah. How did the opportunity come about?
Yeah. Well, I actually worked for Motivate when I first started uni. So I think that was about 2008.
Every school holidays, he would be off working at Motivate. I never really remember that.
What it was. So back in the day. So the first Motivate originated in the hills in 2001. Mm-hmm. So I did that for a bit. It was obviously a really good, I was doing my teaching degree. So it was a really good job to do. It sort of fit in with my field of work I was going to. So, and then I sort of just helped out every now and again, but obviously then I was teaching full time. So when it came to holidays, I wanted to have a holiday break.
Yeah.
But I don't know, we sort of just sat there for a while.
We were in our careers and whatnot and doing well, so to say.
But yeah. I just felt like
I always wanted to do something for ourselves.
Yeah, I remember driving. Yeah. So me and my mate Joel used to drive to footy training, and he's a very go-getter. We used to sit there and we would just chew the fat on the way to footy, and we used to always come up, we'd try and think of different ideas. Like, we're both relatively happy in our jobs, but we were sort of trying to think of something.
It wasn't
a way out of teaching, but I was like, I love teaching, and obviously I'm still teaching to some degree in coaching and what we do.
Yeah, definitely.
But I just sort of wanted to do something for myself and sort of, I don't know, I just felt like
your own boss, really.
But around that time, I don't know if you remember, that barbershops became quite popular.
So me and mate were going to open.
Like, you know how guys go get spades and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We were opening a barbershop but it had like a barbershop with like a general pants in it. But then we both realised that we can't cut hair. We had no fashion sense. So there's no point in really doing that.
And I remember they put a bit of money into it, but I saw this thing and I was like, if you really want to work for yourself and drive your own business, you truly have to be passionate and do something that you're good at.
Yes. Yes. And that you love.
It was literally within months that David Hemmings, the original founder, I think, started to talk to Brad about.
Yeah, so I had an original conversation with him because I saw that Parramatta had actually been sold, which I just saw that by chance on his Instagram page, and which is funny now that we own Parramatta, but I just remember starting an initial conversation with him, and I'm like, because I knew like Hills and Blacktown were obviously, they were the original ones, and I'm knew like Penrith was around, and it's not far from where we live. I felt like I had a really good understanding of the kids and families and stuff that were out there. So I started to get it talking. And I remember I'm a dreamer. Like, I'm just like, yeah, let's go do it. Sarah's like a realist and sort of keeps me in check.
Yeah, but you compliment each other. Yeah, I was going to say that's a compliment for both of you because that would
so we did our due diligence for a while, like a good 6 months of it. And I know, I remember we were with you, Soph. We went over to Bali with you and Calais.
Yes, yeah.
And that was when we got back, we literally had to make the decision then. And
that's we were
And we were living in Breakfast Point.
Yes,
and
together.
And I remember being in a room reading through this contract and
like 50
remember
pages.
That now, yeah.
And it was quite frightening. And like you remember that we had, there's no storage there. And we had that shitty cage that was downstairs. And
that's
then we
bought
70 grand worth of sports gear.
And which is a huge investment.
Sitting there and I'm like, I said to Sarah, I was like, you know what? Like, the worst thing that's going to happen is we're going to end up like we'll have a little bit of debt, but like we'll just end up back where we are now.
Yeah.
Because we weren't quitting our jobs. We stayed working like full time.
For a while.
That's crazy. Oh, so you still continued working as a teacher? So, right. Okay.
Yeah. And so I was literally like every free period I have, I'd get home. It was like having we're really lucky we didn't have kids or anything because we're really burning the candle.
Yeah.
Which we knew, which we knew we wanted to do, because
you kind of have to do it at the beginning a little bit, right, to get that.
Yeah, finished. Like we'd come home at night and we'd sit there together. Like we'd both do our 9 to 5s and then come home and then like five,
good
6 hours.
You guys
doing that, and so we started off doing it. We did our first holiday camp for Penrith in 2019.
So you came.
I know I helped out there.
And I remember we were four weeks out. I remember meeting with Dave and David, who were the franchisors. And I remember we were 4 weeks out and we had sold like 8 tickets. And I was like, what are we doing? Like, what have I done? Like, and then we slowly, like, we got some flyers out to schools and it was just a bit of wildfire, like one parent tell another parent. And we had like a really good opening offer and stuff like that. So then it got to our first camp and we had 152 campers and we were stoked.
Like, I remember it being packed. I thought that was so nice.
Were stoked,
and the line was out the door and we're like, oh my. And I've never been in a school environment where there's so many children and stuff. And I think that was a huge eye-opener for me. I was
like,
they just have it hard. Like these primary school kids are honest.
And I think that's what helped me.
Yeah. Like, hats off to teachers.
I thought I had done. Well, I had done Motivate before, obviously not up on the microphone and sort of being the director of the event, but I had worked in schools for so long and spoken in front of like a couple hundred kids and stuff like that. So that stuff didn't worry me, but it was more so the daunting of like, okay, we've got this business, like are people going to want to come out and hang out with us? Are they going to want to send their parents? Like we talk about it now a lot with our team. We realize how much of a big thing it is for parents, you guys as mums. It's such a huge thing to drop your kid off,
and
like a prized possession, and walk away. So we're so big on that. Like safety is super big and it's huge for us. So
we always like to look back at that camp because, you know, having that 150 kids was huge at the time.
And then what would you say you have now?
Yeah, that's what my next question was. Okay, and how many staff did you have back then?
Well, so when we get when we had staff, well, because I was still teaching, so I was like, what's the best way to find staff? Like young
I rang in two friends.
Young coaches. Sarah brought in two friends. And I just had a year 12 class. So I had a year 12 group at school who were like 16, 17. I just remember going to like to 10 of them who were good kids and I go, hey, do you want a job in the holidays?
And they're probably extra pocket money.
And out of those 10, I reckon we still have like 7 of them.
And they're our best
working for us.
That's
We actually have two of them who are both full time with us now.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
So, how many do you have on your team?
So we've got
on our books casuals we have 140.
Oh my god!
Full timers we have 5, not including Brad.
Yeah, so we've got in the office every day. There's always 6 of us.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And then we've got sort of our team leaders. So there's probably about 10 team leaders, which do probably like 30 hours a week. Like, so they run like
and
our
last school holidays. You want to say how many?
Yeah, like 3,500 kids.
Wow.
So from 150 to 3,500.
So let's fast forward a little bit. So you started in 2019, and that was when you bought your first zone, and that was Penrith. And now in 2023, as I mentioned, you've got 4 zones or 4 locations. So what are those 4 locations now? And when was it during that process in the last, 4 years where that you quit your full-time jobs and started working together, I guess, side by side?
Yeah, well, the aim, well, when we started 2019 at Penrith, the aim was always just to try and build it up, and we wanted to get to a point where we knew we wanted to start a family and stuff, but the idea was for me to hopefully, fingers crossed, work full-time in the business. So we obviously we had our accountant and sort of chatting with him, and then it got to 2021 and I took...
Well, yeah, in the meantime, we're both working full-time, but we're also... We were also trying to fall pregnant. Like it took us 18 months to fall pregnant.
Yeah, that's right.
But then, but looking back, like that time, it gave us so much time to focus on
motivate
business as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Because you know what it's like, you have children and it just throws a spanner into the
work. Which we'll get more into later as well. We have so many questions but about then that.
I was really waiting to. Sorry, Woolworths people, if anyone's listening, but probably not. But I was really waiting to go on maternity leave to then resign.
Yes, of course, because you were at Woolworths for a long time.
And we sat with our accountant, and because I took, I think it was 2020, their term four, I took all my annual leave, like my long service leave. So I took a term off, and I just thought, I said to Sarah, I'm just going to do like 3 months and just go hard and motivate, go as get as many like end of year school events as we can, like just go all in and see how it goes.
Yeah.
We did really like that. That did really well. We got a lot of schools that wanted to sort of be part of us for the end of the year when I was off, which was great. And then I was just like, it was getting too much. It was really burning the, like at both ends. And I'm not, the school I worked at, I was there for 10 years. I went to that school. Like I love the place and they gave me so many amazing opportunities. I felt like I was going to get to a point where I was going to start letting people down. So we chatted with our accountant and I'm like, I wanted to get a point where I said, we just wanted to make close to thereabouts of what I was teaching. So we sat with it and he's like, he crunched the numbers and we'd been waiting on that. He's like, oh, you can like, because I'm like, just tell me when I can quit. So, and he's like, yeah, numbers, you're all good. Like you can go and you guys can take away. Yeah. So that was like,
that was huge.
That was probably the big, that was probably like a big day that we had worked towards for a while.
Yeah, really wanted to get
through. So that was a pretty.
And sorry, what year was that? What year was that? Sorry, Brad.
That was 20.
Was that just before Kenny, 2020?
2020, yeah, it was the
Within a year.
No, yeah, beginning year. Was the beginning of 21. It was right at the start of 21.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was Sarah was pregnant, and so went into the principal, gave him my 4 weeks or whatever, and then that was pretty much it. We didn't really, and then
but then COVID hit and everything. Well, was
Sarah was what 6-7 months pregnant, and we had got to the point where because we were still working full time and the business was sort of just self running in terms of like we didn't have to dip any more money into it. We were saving, and we're like, because I said to Sarah when we bought the first Motivate, I'm like, we're in a house, but we wanted to buy another house. I'm like, we can't buy the house, we're going to buy Motivate. And convinced her, it was all good.
And because we're having a baby, and we're like, oh, we want to build our dream home, and.
Yeah.
All that kind of thing. Then, so we sold it. You remember the townhouse at Marsden Park? We sold that.
Well, we're in the process of selling that and we're going to buy another house. Anyway, David, who's the founder, he started Hills and Blacktown with his wife, Andrea, in 2001. So me and him, I've known him since I was 18. So we have a really good relationship. And we said, we found out that because obviously he's trying to get more franchises, he couldn't run Hills and Blacktown anymore. So he was talking about that he was selling it and stuff and just got my head spinning and I was like, oh, okay. And
we literally just got – we were in such a good place with Penrith and in my head I'm going to build my dream home. And Brad's like, let's not do that. Let's buy more Motivate franchises. And I was like, I'm pregnant. I want a house for my baby.
Sarah's don't want that risk.
It took me a long time. Yeah, so – again, it was a couple of months of going back and forward and negotiations and all that sort of stuff and looking at what it looked like. And then so we signed off on the documents, I think, on like the 23rd of June, ready to take over. Mm-hmm. And then 3 days later. 2021. And then 3 days later, we went into lockdown.
Oh, my God.
So we threw all these franchises and, but also – like it was that was our biggest, I think, challenge and biggest leap for us and risk.
Yeah.
Because we took that money that we sold from our house, right? And we thought we're going to build another beautiful house, but we put that straight back into Motivate and,
And then going into lockdown.
It was just huge. And I remember thinking, like,
your mindset really changed.
But I was like, oh, I really want to make Motivate work because yeah. we didn't do that, we'd probably still be in our roles and not enjoying our career.
And not, yeah.
Versus where we are now. And I remember just thinking, as long as we can make our $700 a week rent, I'll eat 2 minute noodles for dinner. Like, yeah. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right. And then look where you are now.
But I do like 2 minute noodles. But we're going to make it work, you know?
Yeah. And you did. And then, you know, you can still build that dream home, which I'm sure, you know, you guys will, you know.
Absolutely. The leaps led you here. And that, like they say, growth comes when you step out of your comfort zone. And yeah, look at you guys now. Save that one.
But
COVID
was really tough in the way for business and stuff. But to be honest, I don't even think we'd be where we are now if we didn't sort of had that time, because we just have Kendall. Kendall was 3 weeks old when we went into lockdown. So
yeah,
it was like a refocus. And I spent a lot of time in lockdown together, but obviously, and I spent a lot of time sort of on personal, like trying to grow the business. So I did like online courses, heaps of reading and stuff. Cause I'm like, I'm never going to get this time back with Merle.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to get this time to work probably on myself as much as we can.
Yeah.
It was a blessing in disguise, I think, COVID.
Then when we were back up and running, parents were so keen to get their kids out.
Mm. Oh, I bet, like wanting to be outdoors, all that type of thing. So yeah.
Our school
would have boomed in a way, right?
Programs, yeah. It was, people were just keen to get kids their parties. Kids outdoors and doing things.
Yeah, yeah, great. And what would you say, like going into like your roles and stuff, what would you say each of your roles are and then your strengths within the business? So, Sarah, what would you say your main role is and your strength? And Brad, what would you say your main role is and your strength?
So obviously coming from two different careers, so I am very much I'm administrative, right? And I do payroll, yep. I do our accounts, I do like the data stuff, and also have a really like customer first focus. We present, how we go back to people, all of that kind of stuff. Yep. And then, which is polar opposite to what Brad does.
You work so well as a team, and it shows.
But Brad is just the sports guy. He's everyone's best mate. I'm very much.
He's like the cover boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but tell me what you do.
mine's probably day-to-day operations. And I think the hardest thing is that we together, like we work so well together, but we really have our lanes. Like this is what Sarah looks after. This is what I look after. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know some of the stuff she does. Like I just know that it gets emailed to me or sent to me. It's like, hey, do you need this for this? Like, it's like, like data. And I love data and love looking at it and stuff, but Sarah's just a whiz at it. Like some of the stuff.
You are very good with that sort of stuff. Sarah, very on ball.
So good. But yeah, mine's
probably so good
day-to-day operations, like looking at like the programs you run, trying to get new business. I feel like probably my strength is like talking to people, and
he's really good at building relationships.
Yeah.
And going to school.
Oh, yeah. Hot school mums.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can imagine. They're like, Coach Brad.
You need to tell one of the recent stories.
Which one?
Oh gosh, share it, Brad. Come on. Don't be shy.
The kids went up to you.
Oh yeah. One of the kids come up like with his
and
they're blushed. Laughing. And I'm like, what are you laughing at? They're like, oh, my mum and her friends have a crush on you.
I love that the mum
made it awkward and come up to me and was like, oh, I heard my son said this. And I was like, I'm standing there. I didn't know where to put my hands. I was like,
you're like
standing there all awkward.
Like, oh my gosh, that is so funny.
He introduced me as his sister. And I'm like,
that was a joke.
It was a joke, but I was like, whatever sells the tickets, babe. Like,
that's so
get
true.
Get those tickets. That's fine.
But, no, gets them through the
because
door.
Because I worked in schools for so long, I feel like I have really good relationships with a lot of the schools I go to because I sort of.
Yeah.
But you can talk their lingo.
Yeah. I know what schools want. I know they're looking for. Like, I was in that role, in that position that they were.
Yeah, of course.
For so long. So that's probably.
That's where our roles differ.
Yeah.
So obviously as a couple, I can imagine there'd be challenges with working together and living together and being together 24/7. So I guess how do you balance your professional life and your personal life?
We tried once where we thought it was a good idea that once a week we would be, as we said, Coach Brad and Coach Sarah, so not husband and wife, and we just go like just lay stuff on the table like – and it just didn't work.
Did you take it as an attack, Sarah? Because I feel like when Dean tries to be like really critical, I'm like,
you're attacking me.
I come out, I just come out with a list and Sarah's like, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
But honestly, it sounds so probably a bit boring, but we live a pretty firm faith and we talk about it even last time and because we're just so passionate about it. It's not like we find it boring or anything like that. And if there are any challenges, we always come to a mutual agreement and move on, or we do pros and cons, or
I'm a big
you both understand each other.
But we have come to a point where we're like, okay, between the hours of 4 and 7 p.m. we need to be with Kendall and Jack and we need to move our phones, our watches, everything, because it's constantly just going off and we're constantly distracted. And we've found ourselves where we're both sitting on our phones and Kenny's just on the floor playing by herself.
And, Kenny's almost no, she just turned 3. And then
she just turned two. Yeah, I was going to say 3. She's not older than me.
Sorry, just turned. Just turned.
Looks like she's 7.
Yeah, she seems older though.
And all and then she wants is our attention and to play and to draw and so we've.
It's all about being the present. It's all about time management, isn't it? I can imagine it's setting. Yeah. So okay, I'm going to do work for 2 hours, but then for 2 hours, I've got to be solely with the kids, or even solely with Brad. Do you guys do like date nights? Do you ever switch off and disconnect and be a couple as opposed to business partners?
I've got a little bit better at it. I feel like the last couple of months I've been better at it. But
we have a 5-month-old.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say also too, Jack, a 5-month-old. So you've got like you're in the thick of it, right? So it was, trying to do all that, you know.
I was obsessed with going back to parents, but like having stuff done and stuff. But I feel like I've been a little bit better at it where I'm like that email can wait for tomorrow.
Yes.
Like switching off, going to bed. Because I was probably trying, again, I was probably just burning it. I was going to burn myself out a little bit where I was like either working late and then you either wake up tired and stuff. So I feel like I'm getting the balance of it a lot better now than what I probably did maybe a year ago. But I think that's come with obviously having the kids. And I realize I need to put my focus on them. Like,
and how is it having a 5-month-old and a 2-year-old? Like, and then running a business together and doing all of that together?
We have, as you know, Soph, because I tell you, but we have come out of the thick of it at the first. Jack was so different to Kenny and the first 3 or 4 months was so hard and we had no sleep.
And then running
the business. Brad was off working 12 hours a day. I had Jack screaming at me all day, all night, every few hours. Like it was so hard.
I had the easy part. The easy part is I love going to work and I've never been to work. So it was hard not being at home. Hard not being at home. No,
he did
can't
have
do
8 weeks off.
I had 8 weeks. I had a good stint off and stuff. But that's probably the balance. And I don't think it's something we're ever going to perfect. I don't think it's something we have perfect at the moment.
You're
but
learning
I feel
along
like,
the way, though. There's and look, no and no rule one. Book. There's yeah. There's no rule book, and no one's perfect.
We don't.
And it was very overwhelming, and we've definitely learned through that as well. Because. I've got someone covering me at work, but I've even had to cut back even more. I thought that I'd be able to work in while he sleeps and
all that sort of stuff. In reality,
no.
When they're Sarah
thought she's going to come to camps and have him wrapped around and just walk around,
with
strut around
in the little bijon.
Because you could have with Kenny, though. You absolutely could have. Yeah.
She's happy, got lucky. She slept everywhere. She didn't say peep.
Yeah.
Where's Jack? Scream the house down if he has the tiniest bit of gas. Like it's just
so different. And what would you say with that? You go, Brad.
No, I was gonna say we had our first date night. What did we do? We went out for dinner last Friday.
I think I saw that picture.
It was great. No, we realised because we sat there, we were probably gone for 2 hours and we spoke about the kids for an hour and motivated for the other.
I know, right? And then you're like, oh, what about us?
At our feet, like, let's go home to bed.
Oh my god, I feel exactly the same.
Nice to sit there and just eat a meal.
and not be interrupted.
And just disconnect a little bit from, mayhem.
I think we like reflecting. I think that's the main thing we like doing. We like reflecting on like either what we've done, whether it's the past holidays or reflecting on like what we've done
really
the past
like
year.
We really like to look back and we really like I know I've had 2 children and the thought of returning to a corporate job would have been so much more harder.
Yeah.
People that have to go back and work 8 to 5 p.m. And don't see their and see them for an hour. And so that I am so forever grateful.
Yeah.
And the reason we did motivate is for, obviously, it's the best thing ever for primary school children, but also our lifestyle.
It was lifestyle.
Yeah.
I just remember being at school, and I know some parents, sorry, like some teachers that I worked with, like they wouldn't be able to go to their kids' like sport carnival because they're working, or they, yeah. and I can't go to their kids' like first day kindy, or they have to take annual leave and stuff. Mm. And I was just like, I just always wanted, we've wanted that flexibility where we can
do that. And when you've lived both lives, when you've had, you know, your full time 9-to-5 job, and then now you've got this, I bet all of it is worth it in the end. Every challenge, every, you know, struggle. And highs and lows.
I've never worked harder, but I've never been happier.
That we get, like we're like, oh, thousands of emails, or we get thousands of comments, or, you know, all these things. We're like, these are great problems to have.
Yeah, and see, that's good because you love it. It makes it so much better. If you hated what you were doing, it just would make it so much worse, which would then probably your relationship wouldn't be the same. Your relationship with your kids probably wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, because it translates, I think you express that, right, through –
Yeah. So what have been some of the biggest challenge that you guys have faced as a couple in business and how did you overcome it? And then if there's any sort of lessons that you can share to the listeners.
Because I think there's this idea of working with your partner. Like even Dean has said, you know, I'd love to start a business with you and whatever, but it's daunting, right? Yeah. So what would you, I guess, share for others that maybe are considering in the same boat and – you know, are really struggling with it, because I'm sure it's not for everyone.
No, I don't know if I could do it with Kelly.
Oh, look, I could definitely do it with Dean. He's a bit of a
I think we're lucky in the way that we said before, like that we both have our parts of the business that we both have our own lanes, but then we both work collaboratively. I think the challenges is obviously just hearing each other. Like we both come from different
perspective
and employment, like backgrounds and stuff. So that's always been challenge, I think, for us, and more so for me probably than Sarah, is that I, a lot of time when I was a teacher, I was I was head of sport and things like that, but I sort of ran my own race. It was like I was in my office and I was doing my own thing, did what I need to do. So probably the biggest challenge we find as well is staffing. Like we've got all our full-timers, we've got our other staff, so it's us trying to be the best sort of leaders of our business, doing the things that we need to do, but also being there for our staff and supporting them in what they need to do.
And
so
trusting them too, right? Making sure that they're doing the right things. Otherwise it could fall on you.
Well, it would fall on you. Yeah.
That's what we've
It does. And the buck stops with us. And I think that's the next challenge is that I've always faced. If we get constructive criticism or feedback or anything like that, we take it to heart because
you care. So
it's your baby.
We work so hard. We try to be the best. We try to do everything right. And it's sometimes it's so like you just want to fire back and go, you have no idea. Yeah. But I've even said to Brad, I'm like, you got to put your customer service hat on. You got to be empathetic. You got to understand where they're coming from. Everyone's got problems in their lives. You know, they're stressed. And all of this, a lot of this feedback sometimes just comes from fear, you know, they might be worried for their child or anything like that. And we really learn and adapt from
those. Of course, to every sort of behavioural person.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's been, we find really hard because we dwell when we get so much positive feedback, right? Yeah,
but it's
negative.
You fixate on that.
And we hype on it and we always have this rule, we've got to sleep on it. If it's still bothering us tomorrow, then let's address it.
That's a good idea to do.
Yeah, because when you fire back in that moment.
You can't act on emotion. Yeah. You've got to let it sit.
Could ruin that relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And your mindset the next day, like you might be up at 10 o'clock reading that and you're like, no way. But then
got my baby screaming, how dare you?
You have no idea that I've had no sleep all night. Like,
yeah, I completely understand that.
No, and I think that's a good idea to sleep on it and then go from there because, you don't want to act on emotion.
We go back and forth on a lot on how we're going to respond properly and all of that kind of stuff. So that's definitely a challenge as well.
Mm.
It's probably facing things that we've never faced before. Like when the business has grown, it's like, what is it? Like higher levels, more levels, more devils. So the more things, the chances of things going wrong. And
of course.
And that's probably a challenge is us realizing as we grow, like we're going to continue to get more problems, and it's having the capacity and the ability to deal with those things as they come. Because as I said, we're sort of learning on the run with having so many staff, like we've sort of grown pretty quickly. So as I said, being there for our staff and giving them the tools, like being the best leaders we can and giving them the tools to go out there and run a successful program. Or,
absolutely.
So like we really try and lead by a good example and everything like that. And we try and make sure we've got the best coaches out there possible for the children. But there are sometimes where we've had to cut the fat a bit as well.
Yeah. But we are very lucky.
We have very high standards.
Yeah. We're very lucky. Like our team are just amazing. Like they're such good representatives, sorry, of our business and what we do. Like,
and they're also passionate.
That's the best.
Yeah. Yeah, they're so passionate and they love it, and they love Brad and they're his mates, and like it's really, and I can't wait to go back to work and be in that environment. Yeah,
because next year you'll go back to 3 days, is that right, Sarah?
Yes. Yeah, 3 days.
That'll be nice.
Yeah.
Like, oh, about five.
Two and a half. But yeah, no real huge challenges, but they come, we take them as they come.
Yeah, of course. And look, we can't end this interview without asking the million-dollar question. What is the best advice you can give any other couples considering starting a business together? Is there any final words of encouragement that or inspiration that you want to share?
I think you got to find something that you are both passionate about.
Yeah,
I think if it's one person's passion, like whatever that may be, if the other person's sort of not buying in and stuff, and sport is not Sarah's background. Mm-hmm. Like,
nah, she used to love running a race. She was always in the car.
But we don't even feel like we obviously like sports and we run sports camps and stuff, but we feel like we run children's events for kids. So that's where we found sort of the common ground. That we both love what we do.
I love it. And I love, sorry, I'm sidetracking, but
it's okay.
Like I see those kids and I'm like, you are someone's baby. And I just.
And you understand because you're a parent too.
And I see the joy in these kids and it makes the job so worthwhile.
See that. I feel like in everything you guys say and how passionate you are.
It's so genuine.
It shows in everything that you do just how it's not just a job for you guys. It really is such a passion project or a passion.
It's so rewarding. I tell all my friends, I'm like, as soon as your kids are old enough, come.
I know. We sent Zizi. She had the best day.
I want you to come. Like, it is.
Well, all my nephews and nieces and stuff go that live out in the hills.
So many
and they
kids
love it. I think I spoke to you the other day. Like, Bo wants to have a birthday party. You know, to motivate us. Had my sister-in-law.
I know we've sidetracked, but that's probably one of my favorite things. Like, we'll go to the shops on the weekend. And I'll see kids in like their Motivate shirt.
Yeah,
like it's the weekend.
I see it up here.
Or they're wearing their Motivate hat. Like I didn't get dressed up for this. I just wear this like every day. It's the weekend.
I need to get some merch. I love good merch.
We have your bag. Yeah. We've got the Motivate. Motivate backpack.
And I think also have something that you both bring to the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I feel like I really add value and I'm not just the wife on the side.
Yes.
And you know, I'm not just doing the admin crap.
That's
like
not what Brad said, but yeah.
But I think you both have equal parts and equal involvement.
Absolutely. Yeah. Both bring like your strength to the business in a, you know.
Yes.
And you can definitely, again, you can see that you both complement each other so well.
And I feel like you're both very respectful of each other, so you're very understanding. So it's like when the communication would make it work because you would just come to the table with both the realistic side of it, if that makes sense.
For sure.
I could just imagine it be setting, you know, communicating and really being clear of your expectations.
Yeah, because like communication would be a big thing too, right, between each other.
Massively,
dividing and conquering, like. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what advice we would have.
Yeah. Any advice that you want to share? Go for it. I'd say listening to you guys, like you said.
I think if there is something that you are passionate about and you want to do it, absolutely, you have to do it. Some people I would just want to shake and say, you know, just go and do something for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is so worthwhile. They'll have financial freedom, the lifestyle that we've
been your own boss
for, and more. And we have the roles are so rewarding, and we just count our lucky stars. We're just beyond.
That's so good. And it's so good that you're so grateful still, you know.
Yeah, you can awesome. Really see that. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing everything.
It's
been such a pleasure. Sorry about all the difficulties at the beginning, but we got there in the end. We really appreciate it. We're very excited for, you know, the listeners to listen to this because there would be I think it's just such a great topic.
And yeah, so very inspiring. Really inspiring to see how you guys work as a team and, you know, kicking goals with two young children.
And you still both look so good.
I know.
Thank you. A bit of...
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to get mine tomorrow at 7 p.m.
Me too. 3 p.m. I'm getting mine 3 p.m. I look like a glassy little like glazed donut right now. But we love you guys and thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Honestly, that was great.
Hope everyone enjoyed.
Love you guys.
Make sure you guys go and follow Motivate on Instagram. We've obviously got four different Instagram pages. We'll put it down in the show notes.
Yep.
So you can go and follow them.
School holidays are coming up in September.
School holiday camps.
If you're on the hills, any of those areas, go. It's awesome. It's so worth it. Like,
but there is Motivate all around Noosa. I mean, all around Australia?
Yeah, New South Wales, Australia. It's about 28, 29 locations Australia right now.
Maybe you guys can bring one up to the coast near the beach.
Yeah, there is one up here.
A few one up the coast.
Yeah, but the four, but obviously, that Sarah and Brad own are the best. Yeah. I can't wait to send Felix too. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.